Hey, this is Stephen Bruce from Seymour Christian Church. I want to thank you for listening to the message today. As we open up the scriptures, I pray that God speaks to you and that the Holy Spirit will use it to help you on your journey to become more like Jesus. Thanks for listening.
Good morning. I'm Katie Baer. I'll be reading from Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
May God bless reading of his word. Thank you, Katie. Well, last week we started this series called Spring Cleaning. And we said something simple but powerful. And that's that you have to face it if you want God to fix it. He's not just going to take care of the things unless we invite him to do that. We read the passage from Psalm 51, "Search me, O God." We invited God to search our hearts and to look at all the places that we often avoid, the rooms that we've closed off to him. And if you actually prayed that prayer this week, "Search me, O God," I hope that you were shown something, maybe an area in your life that you need to look at. Because here's what I learned this week, and it's that it's one thing to notice the mess, but it's something entirely different to do something about it. This morning, we are continuing in this series. We talked last week about assessing the situation, asking God to search us. And today, we're going to talk about one of my favorite things to do in life, and that's to declutter. I saw a video of someone this week that was trying to declutter. Let's take a look at this.
All right, time to do a little spring cleaning, get rid of all this clutter. You know, maybe I should start with something small. Build momentum. All right, the junk drawer. Anything I don't need is going to St. Vinny's. Tape measure, need that. Second tape measure, just in case the first one breaks, need that. Almond, eat that. Oh, Oldman. Ah, nail. Oh, my fish flask. I haven't seen this since Christmas Mass. Tastes like sin. Ow. Knife. Fleet Farm gift card. Now that's a keeper. Ah. Whatever this is. Why? Third tape measure. I can't get rid of this. How else would I measure two tape measures? We can't get rid of these. Dog only chewed one lens. You can barely tell. My grandpa Bob always said you can never have enough bobbers. Can't get rid of this. What if I remember the combination? We can't get rid of the battery bag. Some of these might still have juice in them. Next time the clicker's dead, you'll be happy we have these. Aha, half filled out crossword puzzle. Now this we can get rid of after I finish it. 15 letter word for not doing what you're supposed to be doing. That is a tough one. I'll have to come back to it. Oh, that's where my arrows went. Oh, that's where my ice cream went. Oh, freezer's not working. Oh, that's where my ice fishing stuff went. Yes.
It's so dark in here. What's going on?
Ah! Oh, yes. So satisfying. Oh. It's the best part of my day. I'm gonna be so happy I did this in 2 days. I just saw something like this on Antiques Roadshow. This thing could take care of the mortgage.
Shoot.
Good thing we got that glue in the junk drawer. I know I'm not making progress, but it's not my fault. We don't have storage bins. You know what? I'll just go to Fleet Farm and take care of that. Of course I won't get anything else. Just the bins. I promise. Oh, hey. Yeah, there's a couple more in the car. Can you give me a hand? The bins? You know, I think I forgot my wallet at the Fleet Farm. I will be right back. We needed this tip up.
I don't know if that's maybe how it goes in your house when you start to declutter, but sometimes it's that way in mine. We get distracted. We're not sure exactly what to do with all of the junk. According to a Princeton University study, clutter in our environments has a huge impact on our ability to focus. You can try to ignore clutter around you, but it's always competing for your attention. And researchers have been looking at this, the effects of clutter in our lives. And they found that clearing away clutter at your work or at your house increases and improves your focus. It increases productivity, and it makes it easier for our brain to process information. See, clutter has negative effects on our mental and physical health, too. It can leave us feeling anxious and stressed and even depressed. I found this online a little bit of research this week on what was called the clutter test. And I want to see if you identify with any of these. I thought about maybe having us raise our hands or move to different parts of the room. But then I thought, it's a little too telling for some of us with these. But see if any of these resonate with you. Are you constantly feeling overwhelmed and stressed? Are you always rushing from one task to another without taking breaks? Do you have difficulty focusing and being easily distracted? Are you neglecting your self-care activities such as exercise or proper nutrition or sleep? Are you struggling to find time for meaningful relationships and social interactions? Are you frequently missing deadlines or forgetting important commitments? Are you finding that you're lacking enjoyment or satisfaction in your day-to-day activities? Are you frequently multitasking and feeling like you're never fully present in the moment? Are you declining physically and mentally with your health? Are you having increased fatigue, anxiety, or irritability? Do you have difficulty saying no and taking on more responsibilities than you can handle? Is anybody feeling a little right now? Okay. Are you neglecting important aspects of your life? Spiritual practices, relationships with people? Are you feeling a constant sense of urgency or an inability to relax or unwind? Are you frequently relying on caffeine and other stimulants to help you keep your schedule? Are you frequently feeling a sense of dissatisfaction or emptiness, even when you accomplish a task? Are you losing sight of your long-term goals and focusing only on the immediate things that have to happen? Are you frequently running late or feeling rushed in your daily routines? Do you have a lack of time for reflection or personal growth? As I read those 20 signs of a cluttered life, I'm going to be frankly honest with you. Anybody who knows me would say, Stephen, that kind of sounds like you, right? And maybe you resonate with some of those too. There's so much in our life competing for us that we're not able to actually live the life that God has called us to because there's so much clutter. I told you guys last week that this series was inspired by me cleaning out my office shortly before Easter. And there's some things that happened. One day I walked in and I had had enough. I don't know if you've ever had that happen with you in your life before. My office was so cluttered with all sorts of things that I had to do something about it. And it was late in the evening. And I just said, I'm just going to just work on this one section here. And before I knew it, everything in my office was pulled out in the hallway. And I started the process. I called Ange and I said, I'm going to be home late. I made a big mess and I have to take care of it now. Because once I'd started it, I could not just leave it that way. And you see up here a picture of what one of my bookcases looked like. Now you can't, this. Some of you guys are like, what's the problem with this? All right. Now, but if you actually zoomed in on that, you would see there's trash. Go back to that slide. You leave it there. There's all sorts of trash on there. There's paint cans. There's books that I haven't read. There's a used Swiffer duster in the corner. There's just all sorts of stuff there. And honestly, I wanted to avoid that bookcase. But with the help of my youngest daughter, she came into town and she helped me to my other bookcase you'll see here. This is what happened after it was decluttered, organized. Yeah, wow. Right? And it's still a work in progress. And this bookcase actually still looks this way. But this other side, Sienna did that. All right. And so she started going through and doing the process of decluttering. And it made a world of difference. But see, last week we said that you can't clean what you won't look at. And this week we're going to ask a different question. What's actually filling your life right now? Does your life resemble that bookcase before it had been decluttered? But see, decluttering isn't just about making things look better. It's about removing what doesn't belong. And that's exactly what we want God to do in our lives. And that's what God wants to do in our lives. If you've got a Bible, I want to encourage you to open up to Hebrews chapter 12. It's the passage that Katie read. We're going to be looking at that today in Hebrews chapter 12. If you don't have a Bible, we've got Bibles in the back as well as up here on the front. You're free to take one of those. We'd love you to have one of those. But Hebrews chapter 12. Starts off, it says, therefore, since we've been surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles or that trips us up. So I want to ask you this morning, what entangles you? What's the sin that entangles you. There's two things that the writer of Hebrews shows us here. First of all, that we need to get rid of the sin that entangles us, but also the weight that's holding us down. So let's look at each of those. Galatians chapter 5 goes on and it tells us a little bit more of some of that sin that's in our life. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you're not free to carry out your good intentions. You mean to do well, but this sin is entangling you. It goes on in verse 19. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery or witchcraft, hostility, quarreling. So far, like, man, those are terrible things. But then this list gets a little closer to home for some of us. Jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. I don't know if you've ever seen these organization or decluttering shows. I love watching those. And in those, you go into someone's house, those hoarders type shows, and you see stuff that most of us would say, I would never live like that. But these people are overwhelmed with all of the clutter, all of the junk in their lives. And each of these shows follows a similar formula. They ask people to get some boxes, and that's actually what's hidden behind these curtains that Aaron was talking about, and to take these boxes and to identify what are the things that you need to throw away. And they'll say, get another box and say, what are the things you need to release? A lot of times they'll call this donate, but we're not going to donate anything, as we're going to see here, all right? And so the third box that people often have is the things you want to keep. And then the fourth box, I don't know what to do with it, right? And we set up these different boxes, and we ask people to put the things in their life that that fit these different boxes. And so this is the key to what Hebrews chapter 12 is telling us, that we need to identify what's in the way. And so we might say, okay, the trash. This is stuff that I know I need to get rid of. These are those sins that so easily entangle us, right? Your pride or your lust or the drunkenness, the evil desires, all sorts of the junk that we just know is wrong in our lives. That list helps to see some of that. But remember, we asked last week for God to search us, for him to show us the things that are standing in the way of life everlasting with him. And that's what we do with this box. What is the garbage that I need to remove? Like, I need to get rid of the trash in that bookcase before I could even start. The first step is to remove the thing, or to identify the things that need to be removed. Maybe it's your pride. It's not just those big sins, is it? It's the way that you speak to your spouse, the anger that you express to your children, the way that you treat other people at work. There's all sorts of things that we continually need to be looking at and throwing in this box. Things that don't need to be in your life, that should not be in the life of a follower of Jesus. So this one's pretty easy, right? We say, this is the trash, this is the sin, this is easy to identify. But what about this? Because if you remember, the author in Hebrews says we should get rid of the things that are sinful and also the weight, right, that carries us down. These aren't necessarily sins. What is getting in the way of your life? What is getting in the way of your life with Jesus? Maybe it's your schedule. Your schedule is just so cluttered that you're not able to spend the proper time you need to on your relationship with God. Maybe it's your job. Maybe you've become so focused on your job, a good thing, providing for your family, but it's weighing you down. It's not a sin, but it's weighing you down. Maybe it's something a little closer to home for some of us. Maybe it's a hobby, right? Hobbies aren't wrong, but maybe that hobby, you spend so much time, you're obsessed with it, working out, reading, playing golf, hunting, fishing, pickleball, whatever it might be. These things that are weighing you down because they're taking your focus off of Jesus. We're going to see the importance of focus. And so we have to ask the question first, what are the trash that I need to get rid of? What are the things that don't belong in my life? And second, what are the things I need to release? What are the things I just need to let go of? They're not wrong, but I need to let go of them. These can be good things. Usually these are good things. Things that God would not be opposed to, but they're weighing us down. They're weighing us down. Busyness, distraction, overcommitment. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, many people are so busy doing religious things that they have no time for God. You're so busy doing these things. They're not wrong, but you need to let them go. You need to let them go. See, some of us aren't stuck because we're just doing bad things. We're stuck because we're doing too many things. And sin will entangle us, but these other things will weigh us down. Well, the third box that we have is the keep box, right? These are the good things in our life. As we're sorting through and as we're allowing, asking God to search us, we identify the things that we need to keep. We're going to talk more about these in the coming weeks. But if you remember the show Marie Kondo's Tidying Up, she would ask this question when she would encourage people as they're trying to declutter their lives. When they would take up something, ask, does it spark joy, is what she would say. And that's a great question when you're cleaning out your closet. It's not really a great question when you're trying to clean out your heart. Because there are lots of things that I want to keep because they spark joy that are not part of a follower of Jesus. There are things in my heart that I desire, that bring me joy or pleasure that are not what God wants me to keep. So we're going to focus more on this in coming weeks of what do we need to keep. But remember, the standard for clean is not your opinion. We talked about that last week, and it's not someone else's opinion. It's God's. And so God determines what goes in here. We're going to look at that in the coming weeks. Because, see, we often have an emotional attachment to things. I don't mean just physical things, but the things that we don't want to get rid of. Even some of the things in here we're emotionally attached to. We feel like we need to have these in our life. We make excuses for this trash in our life. God, I have to have this in my life because no one else is giving me this, or I don't feel complete without it. Or you don't understand my upbringing, and so it excuses my behavior. All sorts of different things we try to do to justify what stays in this box. But we need to let it go. So we need to identify what's in the way. We need to identify what's in the way. And I say, what about this other box here? This is the fun box, right? This is the box that really, I'm calling this like the next level box. The sin, the trash we need to get rid of, okay. The things that are weighing us down, all right. The things that we're going to keep because they're good and God wants them in our life and they bring us closer to him, awesome. But what about the things that we just don't know about? What kind of things go in this question mark box? Remember, we're identifying the things that are getting in the way, and so we have to ask the question, there are some things that get in the way for you that don't get in the way for me. Or they get in the way for the person next to you that don't get in the way. Or maybe seasons of your life where some of the things that might be in this box are causing you to be distracted. Maybe it's your phone. Maybe it's television. Maybe it's exercise. Maybe it's a routine that you have. Not bad things. These are good things. But are we willing to ask, okay, Lord, in this season, is there something in my life, not a bad thing, but that's keeping me from you? I don't need to release it for all time, but right now I've got to do something about the stuff in this box because it's getting in the way. It's keeping me from a relationship with you. So we need to identify what's in the way. But see, it's not just enough to identify the clutter. We're going to go on in Hebrews chapter 12, and we see what are we supposed to do with everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles us. What does it say? Let us strip off. Some translations say throw away, toss, cast aside, get rid of. This Hebrew word there, it means to rid, to remove it, to cut it out, to put it to death. So we need to remove what doesn't belong. Putting it in the box, identifying it, isn't enough. We actually have to remove it. It's got to go away. So many times and I actually did it even cleaning out my office here. I've got boxes where I sorted, I identified the things that need to happen. And guess what? They're still sitting in the box because I didn't take them out. I didn't remove them. Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, we read these words. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Kill them. That's about as harsh a way to remove as you can, right? Just set them aside. Don't put them in a corner of your room. Kill them. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Then verse 6 says, because of their sins, the anger of God is coming. And then he says in verse 7, you used to do these things when your life was still part of the world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. He goes on, he says, don't lie to each other, for you've stripped off your old sinful nature and its wicked deeds. Put on the new creature and be renewed as you learn to know your creator and become like him. The things in this box, they can't stay in your room. You've got to kill them. You've got to remove that box. You have to get rid of that. It is killing you. So you need to kill it. Ephesians chapter 4:21 says, since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Put it to death. Cut it out. Remove it. A lot of times when we're decluttering, what we end up doing is we just end up organizing trash. You have to remove it. You can't just organize the trash. So we have to stop trying to recycle or to reuse what God is trying to replace. In order for us to be filled with the right things, the things that we're going to talk about coming weeks that we need to keep, we have to get rid of, we have to make space for them. Because our life, our boxes, our hearts are being filled with the garbage, with the trash. And we think often we can just organize it. We can put it in this spot that no one will see. We can just pull it out when we need to. It's a crutch, and God understands. But clutter must be removed, not managed. And the same thing is true with our sin. See, we don't manage sin. We remove it. So many of us are trying to manage our trash box, but we don't manage it. We don't try to keep it under wraps or just a little bit of this here or there. We have to remove it. That bookcase, the one that's still in disarray, is still a bookcase, right? It's technically functioning as a bookcase. Books are on it. But it's a mess. And because it's a mess, first of all, things are getting broken. I tried to pull something off there, and I have this little R2-D2 figurine that I was given when I was a child. It's ceramic. It's really cool. It's vintage, because I'm vintage. As I was pulling something off there, it fell and broke, because the bookcase is just so messed up. And now I don't even want to go over there, because I just want to stay away from that. You know, we have those places in our life, right? Our physical spaces that we just ignore or try to not go over because they put us in a bad mood. If you have a room like that, or a part of your closet or section of the garage, just like, I'm not even going to see it. I don't even want to go over there. And so we're not even using that space. That's the same thing going on with our hearts. There's so much clutter and some things that we haven't identified yet or removed it. The things are getting broken. We're hurting each other. We're hurting ourselves because of the sin in our life. But we're just avoiding it. Or often what I think we notice, people are avoiding us. you come home from work and the family kind of scatters, right? Oh, there's a lot of clutter in there. There's people in our life that don't want to talk to us anymore, that we've wronged, we've hurt because of all that junk on our bookcases. And we might appear to be okay, but inside we're a mess. And we're still a person. We're even still a Christian, right? We still love God. We want to do what's right. Just like that bookcase is still a bookcase, kind of, but it's not being all that it could be. It's not being used the way that it could be. It's not being enjoyed the way it could be. So we don't manage sin, we remove it. But even those things we know we need to get rid of, sometimes the hardest thing is just letting it go. Take a look at this.
Hey, Kat.
Jesus.
Oh, it's been a long time.
Yeah, I didn't expect to see you here.
Whoa, what's that smell?
Smell? Oh, well, that's my trash. I'm a little embarrassed about it.
Oh, well, is that why you've been avoiding me?
Avoiding you? I haven't really been avoiding you. I just, you know, I don't want to get close to you. I mean, I don't want you to smell it.
I'll take it, Kat. Come on.
Oh, no. That's okay. I mean, I made it. It's my trash. You know, I should carry it. It's okay.
Yeah, but Kat, I mean, this is my job.
Right.
I take people's trash. That's what I do, so.
Right, okay. Well, maybe I could go and just clean it up a little bit, you know, and then I'll come back.
No, Kat, I don't need you to do that. Okay, I'll take it from you so you don't have to carry the weight.
Oh, well, I.
Come on. Just hand it over. All right?
All right.
Let go. Let go.
Yes,
yeah?
Just,
yeah? Yeah? How's that feel?
Weird. Wow. That is crazy. Yeah,
just loosen it up a
Whoa,
little bit.
Check that out. I don't know if I've ever moved like that before.
Well,
I mean, that is crazy. I feel so free and alive.
The lack of trash.
Wow. It's just like, this is the craziest feeling I have ever had. It's like something's missing, you know?
Well, Get used to feeling free, because that's what you are now.
Right, okay.
What are you doing?
I got to get one thing, okay? Hold on just a minute.
Get one thing? No. Don't open the bag.
Jesus, thank you so much for your sacrifice. I really appreciate all that you've done for me.
What's going on here, Kat?
What?
Look, I'll take the trash, but you need to put that back.
Oh, no, actually, that's okay. This is mine. It's my piece. I want to keep it.
No, it goes right back in the bag, so I'll help you. Here,
no.
Put it here.
No, Jesus, I need to remind myself not to make more trash. I mean, that just
Kathleen,
makes sense.
I will remind you not to make more trash.
Oh,
okay?
Well, Jesus, you know.
That's what I do. I mean, we'll walk together.
I know, but I should be in a better place than this by now. I mean, I'm constantly doing things wrong, you know, and I'm constantly letting you down.
No, the only thing that's letting me down is you taking the stuff back.
Okay.
Look, I took care of the trash before you even created it. Look, don't you see what's happening? Every time I take your trash away, you come back and take another piece. And the more pieces you carry around, the more trash you attract. It reeks. Kat, when I look at you, I don't see your sin. I see you. The real you, the free you. This is what I'm fighting for. This is what I died for.
Jesus, I'm sorry. Please forgive me.
I've already forgiven you. The question is, will you forgive yourself?
Isn't that us? God takes it. He removes it. He forgives it. But then so often we want to go back and pick it up again. Last week we read this passage from 1 John 1, verse 8. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. So we ask God to search us. But the next verse is important. Verse 9, but if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness. If we admit what's in this box to him, maybe to each other, but for sure to him, he removes it. He will get rid of it if we will let him. Psalm 51:10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. See, the problem isn't that God hasn't forgiven you for your trash. It's that you won't let it go. There's a song that can remind you of this. Those with children know the song. Just let it go. Stop going back and picking up the trash in your life to hold on to it for whatever the reason. Just let it go. We need to identify. We need to remove. But this passage also gives us the next step, to refocus. This illustration that the writer in Hebrews is telling us is we're running a race, right? It's saying, as you run your race, what are you supposed to do? You see it up here on the screen in Hebrews chapter 2, or Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We can run the race after we've removed the extra weight, the sin that's tangling, tripping us up. We can run the race, not on our own, but by fixing our eyes on Jesus. See, the clutter is replaced by focus. Focusing our eyes on Jesus. Because decluttering isn't just about what you remove, it's about what you do with the space. What you do with the stuff that you're going to keep. Aaron shared in communion this idea of zooming in on a moment. We need to zoom in to fix our eyes on Jesus. Once we've removed or we've identified and then removed the things that need to go, if we fix our eyes on him, if we're fixing our eyes on him, we can run the race. I've shared this illustration many times before, but when you're driving, you're going to drive towards whatever you're looking at. We got to stop looking at this. We've got to stop looking at this, even the good things. We've got to fix our eyes on Jesus. See, when we get rid of the sin and the unnecessary, if we're not careful, if we're not fixing our eyes on Jesus, we'll just accumulate more. How many of you have cleaned an area, you've decluttered it, and then a couple weeks later you look and it's back the way it was, right? There's a spiritual application for that. Number one is this isn't a one-time thing. Now, God removes your sin, just like we saw in that video. Before Kat had even done it, God had forgiven her. But we consistently and constantly need to be identifying the things in our life, the sin that's entangling us, the things that are weighing us down. So I want to ask you this question. What are you holding on to that Jesus already took care of? What are the things that are in your trash box? Or maybe things you need to release that you're just holding on to. Last week we prayed, search me, O God. This week we pray, show me what needs to go. See, it's hard to run your race when your hands are full. So what sins need to go in your trash box? And what's getting in the way of God in your life? Don't manage it, remove it. See, Jesus didn't die so that you can manage your sin. He died so you could be free from it. And before we leave, I want to make sure that we don't miss something really important. This series, Spring Cleaning, this isn't about work that you have to do in order to be right with God, okay? About being good enough for God. I hope we understand that none of us are good enough on our own. Jesus is the one, remember, who cleans us. But we have to identify and be willing to remove those things. So we've got this verse, we read this last week, and I want us to use this as a theme verse for this series. I want to encourage you actually to memorize it. We're going to say it here together, Philippians 1, 6. Would you read this with me here, because this is the truth that we need to understand as we're embarking on this spring cleaning of our souls. Let's read this together. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He's doing the work, amen? If you're willing to ask for him to search you, if you're willing to ask for him to show you, he will do the work. He began it, he carries it, and he completes it. God does the cleaning. But we have to stop holding on to the clutter. Let's pray. God, I ask for each and every one of us that we would be willing, Lord, ready and willing, because you are able, Lord, to take the time to identify the things in our life, the clutter in our hearts. Lord, and our physical clutter might not always be bad things. It just makes our life a little more difficult. But Lord, this kind of clutter can kill us. And so, Lord, I ask that we would look at the box of trash, that we would identify the things in each and every one of our lives that need to be placed in there. But Lord, we wouldn't just put it in that box and say this is sin. We would remove it. Lord, we would partner with you, the Holy Spirit, to help us remove the sin that so easily entangles us. Lord, help us be willing to do the hard work of asking, Lord, what are the things that are just weighing me down? Not bad things, but things that are keeping me from you. Maybe in this season or maybe for all time, just things that are keeping my eyes off of Jesus. Because, Lord, we might not identify those as trash and sin, but they are just as dangerous. And Lord, help us to focus our eyes on you, to let go of the things that we need to let go of, allow you to take them, to not pick them back up, and to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author, the originator, and the one who can do the spring cleaning in our hearts perfectly. God, that's our prayer. Search us, and Lord, this week, show us. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church together said, amen.